How's it going, Sha?
I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
That's notable because we are recording this in the morning. So
this would be the time to be.
Yeah. Well, it's not that early in the morning. It's late morning. It's 10 o'clock a.m.
Yeah.
So really, by all intents and purposes, this is the latest that you get to call it morning, I think, and do stuff. Do you know what I mean? If you work a job, I think 10 a.m. is the latest that you can say, oh, I got to be there in the morning. If you work at 11, then you say, I got to cover lunch shifts. Do you know what I like? It's a minor thing, but then people go, oh, okay, like 11:30, something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But 10 o'clock is like the last time where it's like, all right, this office is a 10 to 6 office or a 10, you know what I mean? But 10 o'clock, I feels like, is the latest of office time. And that's what time my day job starts, technically, is they open at like 10 a.m. And so that, you know, I shouldn't be sleepy is what I'm saying.
That's, yo.
Yeah.
That's kind of dope. So like 10:45, show up at that time, like you playing with fire.
If you show up at 10:45, you are either 45 minutes to 90 minutes late. And you were like, well, I mean, if being 6 minutes late is the same as being an hour and a half late, I'm just going to go on and eat breakfast.
You know
so
what I mean?
That is right. So that's what 10:45 is. 10:45 is not, to be honest with you, it is not a time that is thought of at all. It's not considered in the, you know, no one really, unless it's like a doctor's appointment, no one really gets to a place at 10:45. Early for 11 o'clock.
Yeah. I'm going to start making that my exclusive appointment time now.
Yeah, 10:45. I bet it will be open. I bet it will be open. It's not a, you know what I mean? Barbershops aren't open yet, 10:45.
Yeah.
You know?
Only the owner of the barbershop is there at that time.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's not, I don't know. I never considered the time 10:45 while having many jobs where I had to be at 10. And if it's 10:45, it is because I am horribly late. Something has happened, but it's not like a time that I shoot for. So yeah, but I mean, and I guess most of my on-time things are rooted in retail jobs.
How to do it.
So, you know, 10 o'clock, like if you can get a retail job where you got to be there at 10, God bless you, because that means you didn't have to open.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or, and you'll probably leave at like a reasonable hour, like 6 or something like that.
Yo, that's why I worked in furniture sales.
Yeah.
It's retail, but like the stores open at 10, you had to be there at 9:30.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
And that's the other thing of like being there. Like my 10 o'clock job now, I still got to be there at like 9:45 just to set things up.
Yeah.
For the arrival of my coworkers at 10. And after COVID, actually, we opened up our hours for people so they can kind of just come in whenever. So my 9:45 isn't even as strict as it was before when I had to make coffee for the office. Now we got an espresso machine. Everybody makes their own coffee, you know, germs and whatnot. And I'm like, great. So we'll bump it up to 9:55 then. We'll do that.
There you go.
I don't know. So my point is, I don't know why I'm sleepy, because this should be why I should be firing at least 3 out of 4 cylinders right now. The other thing is, since over the past, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, since the ankle break, I've been going to bed earlier and earlier. And now at like 8 o'clock, I'm like, well, cut off the lights. Shut it down. I am in bed. I am in bed. And not even like, I'm just going to move this party to the bed. I mean, asleep by 8:30. One night, a couple of weeks ago, it was 7:30 and I was like, I'm done. What else am I doing? Where am I going? I'm not going anywhere. I'm not watching anything on television that starts at a certain time.
Huh.
I'm done. And the last time I did that, the first and last time that I did that was during COVID, where we couldn't go anywhere. And I was just like, oh, well, why am I up late? Because what I discovered in staying up late is that I'm fine, mentally I'm fine until 3 o'clock a.m. Then from 3 a.m. till about 5:45 a.m., I have the darkest, most intrusive thoughts.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So when I realized that was the time frame, I was like, oh, so we got to shut a hard out at 2. everything done at 2 is what I have to do.
Okay.
And then talk myself into dozing off.
What is it about that time that, like, you're able to, like, your body knows, oh, this is the time to go wild?
I have no idea. I really don't. And it is literally 3. Like, I was on a group chat with my girlfriends. We were all up until 3 in the morning talking about, I don't know what, Usher or something, Lloyd, I don't know, Little Sammy, some shit. And millennial R&B is, I think, what we were discussing. And, you know, spirited conversation. And then we finished. It was probably about 3:05. And I was like, that was funny. And literally within minutes, I was like, do I want a do not resuscitate order? Should I put that in? Like, do I want that? Like, do I want to it? Do I want to fight whatever happens to me? Do I want to fight it or do I want to give in? It's 3:12 a.m. Shalewa, what happened to Usher? What happened to Lloyd?
I promise you, they don't want that for you.
They don't care. The dream doesn't care about me. So, like, where did this come from? And that's when I was like, oh, there's a time that this happens. I need to go to sleep right now. But I couldn't, the thoughts were with me. And I was just like, it was just so dark. And then I finally managed to pull up the nose of the plane. It was like 5:30. So I was doing that shit for like 2 hours. And I was like, this is no good. At some point I was just like, okay, I just got to try to go to bed earlier and earlier so that I'm at least asleep during that time. And what I ended up doing was when the sun went down, so did I. I just went to bed and then I would get up when the sun was up. So I just.
Okay. Yeah. Run with me on this.
Okay.
Let me see if I'm. So like as people get older, they go to sleep earlier.
Yes.
Right? Like I've noticed this universally.
Mm-hmm.
What, and now you're telling me this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got hurt. It coincides with you having like your 50th. Now you're going to bed at 8 to avoid these nightmares that come at 3 in the morning.
Right.
What if, you know, older people are going to sleep progressively earlier because the nightmares come earlier.
Okay.
And when they die, they're not actually dead. They're just trying to get to sleep before the nightmares get them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how like old people be like that, Geico commercial be like, you know what I mean? You got to get up pretty early in the morning. Got to be quicker than that. Like, that's what they're saying to the Grim Reaper in the nightmares. Like, you know what I mean? They're like running from that, from death by going to sleep earlier.
That, look. I'm with you that I can see where that would be a possibility. But I feel like the older you get, I mean, depending on, I don't know. I feel like you, as you get older and you start really experiencing some loss.
Yeah.
You build this relationship with death where maybe you're not trying to outrun it anymore. Like when you start to settle things, I'm cuspy on that, in that I am still scared of the idea of death. And
I was gonna say, and I'm happy to hear that, only because that means we got you. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
Real talk. Like I was very happy to drive you to the hospital, but if like the whole way there, you would have been like, you know what I mean? By the way, gas store, if I don't come back, this is the code that you need. That would have fucked my head up.
I have them in my phone, which is crazy. And I've sent them to my sister, along with the codes to get into my phone and passwords for my laptop. There is a notepad by my bed that every time I have a headache that is too painful or lasts too long, I start writing out a new version of my will and testament, which is literally just leave it for my sister. Hey, sis, just sell what you can and give away the rest. Keep the money. Once I do them, but that's out of fear, I do that.
Okay.
Once I do that in a professional, official way, which is something I'd like to get done this year, the concern is what will happen when I die, which is, I mean, cocky for all of us. We won't, who knows? We'll get to my belief, our spirits, our energy will float around and get to watch it and then go, well, shit, I probably should have done that. So now I'm trying to think what are those things I should do. I'd like to get them done as soon as possible so that if I do die, then for whoever is left behind, which in my brain is really just my sister.
Okay, you want to leave them a blueprint?
Yes, but I am still scared of death, so it's still scary for me to like take care of those things. I know I need to, and I know that there's like it'll put a pep in my step in a way once it's handled.
Okay,
weird, but I really think that that is what happens because you're like I've done what I can.
Yeah,
and I don't have to. There's no scramble of trying to figure things out. But
you're almost trying to undo the list again.
What? Oh, what
like
do you mean?
When you, because like when you make the your final plans, mm-hmm. you're saying that like everything's ready, right? And then you're like, oh shit! Like if I go now, like there's nothing else left to solve. So like if you go out and do new shit, you have to redo the list.
No, honestly, no matter how airtight your stuff is, there's always a variable that you did not account for.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to, I guess you just kind of have to internalize that and do what you can and know whatever happens at that point is what happens. You know, who knows what it'll be, but I really think you plan as much as you can for the physical things.
Yeah.
The other things you cannot plan for. You know, I can't plan for people's reaction to whatever happens. So it's just, you know what I mean? I can plan for the right now, how I know things right now. And something could change and all relationships could be completely different. And you just update for that, but shit, that can change 2-3 times. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yo, I swear, like with permission, wanna clip that one line there and leave that as life advice for my kids forever. Like my final thing I'm gonna prepare is a video of me saying, hey, just listen to this last sentence from Shaq. You can prepare all you want in life, but sometimes, that's all I need you to understand about life, kids. Oh, that's awesome.
So, I mean, that's it. But I honestly had not thought that the reason I was going to bed so early was because I was getting older. I hadn't even considered that. So thank you.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Like to me, like there's like a moment where like that shifts. Like whenever I lose track of time, I still go the other way. I still sleep later and later.
Okay.
I associate that with like, okay, I'm still young in terms of like some aspect of my spirit. And at some point I think I'm gonna lose that. Like Gabby already does the opposite. Gabby, like, yo, something's off with the schedule. She like, I start notice her like slowly pivoting to single digit sleep time. You know what I mean? And my dad is like that now. Like, my dad used to be, you know, he worked in, like, bodegas, and, like, he'd be up 2-3 in the morning. That dude would be, like, coming over. He's like, well, I got to leave. I got to go to sleep. And I'm like, yo, my man, it's 7:30. And he's, yup. He's like, nap time. I'm like, okay. And he is dead serious about it. And that shifted. There was, like, a moment in his life where, like, if there's nothing to do, he goes to bed earlier. If the schedule is, like, a little too free, like when we on, like, vacation, or mm-hmm. if he's, like, in DR, that dude be going to bed 8, 9 o'clock and calling it late. His whole life, like, pivoted more and more towards earlier. I think there's, like, an internal thing that, like, your body starts to do that, whether it's to, like, hey, like, you still got a long day tomorrow, you know what I mean? Get some sleep. It takes more energy to do stuff at that age. Maybe you fully embrace, yo, I move slower. I need to, like, wake up at 5 a.m. to get shit done before everybody else is in my way.
I mean,
something about it.
That's part of it. I mean, it's because I don't think I'm doing this because I'm a morning person. When I had jobs where I had to be at work at 10, then that is what life is. I sleep so that I can get to work at 10. But I've also had jobs where I had to be at work at 6 p.m. to work until 2 in the morning. Yeah, I don't think, oh, I'm a morning person or I need more time. It is possible with this. Either it's a stress thing, like with COVID, I was just like, I'm not going anywhere. So why should I be up for this? Let me just sleep through it. With this is another stressful thing where, once again, I'm not going anywhere. There's no need for me to really be up. And I guess maybe it is taking a lot out of me to move around. So if I'm moving a good bit, I'm just like, lay it down. Let's go. Like, forget it. Lay it down. We'll see. But I'm a naps person. If I could, I would take a nap in the middle of the day to keep going. And I know that once I got to return to the streets and do shit, that now I got to adjust for that sleep-wise and all of that kind of stuff. But for right now, child.
8 o'clock, baby.
Yeah. 8 o'clock. I'm like, okay. Hey, I'm done, I think. So,
yeah, like, that's the pivot I thought you were going to make. Because, like, I go to sleep later and I end up taking, like, a midday nap. Like, become, like, what is that? Like, biphasic sleeping or something? Like, that, you know, that weird thing that, like, people in college do to, like, hack sleeping and, like, they think they're innovative, but in reality, it doesn't work and they, like, never do it again? No?
No, what is it? Just take a nap in the middle of the day?
It's like, I know, like, there's some...
Or do they stay up so long that suddenly they think they're still awake?
Yeah, like, there's, like, there's a part of the internet where, like, I feel every guy goes to at some point and they decide, nah, that's too weird, I'm coming back. Most of us do, right? Like, okay. You know, like you got, like, red pill culture and all of that where, like, dudes try to be alpha males and, like, hack life. When I was 18, mm-hmm. my version of that was, like, I want to be elite male. So I tried to hack my sleep. And okay. I noticed that a disproportionate amount of my friends at some point experimented similarly. Uh-huh. So, like, there was, who was the, one of the Ninja Turtle dudes, but, like, the real dude, like, Da Vinci, one of them dudes. One of those
Hold on, please stop. Hold on.
Yeah, one of the artists that, like, the Turtles are named after. Okay. Like, they were known for their productivity, and there's, like, rumors that, like, based on their writing, that they slept in an extreme schedule where it was, like, they would sleep for 20 minutes and be up, like, 4 hours, and they did that in increments of 4 hours. So, like, they'd be up for 3 hours and 40 minutes, sleep 20, and it would allow them to stay up, in theory, for, like, most of the day while taking nothing but 20-minute naps. And, like, there's, like, people that, like, try to do extreme versions of that. So, like, they'll be like, that one doesn't work because you can't function in society. You can't, like, you know, take a nap and, like, go to on a date. But, like, mm-hmm. you could do, like, 3 1-hour naps and one, like, hour and a half sleep.
I mean, how old did Da Vinci live? Do we know?
I don't know. I see that, and that's
do
how
think
I
think it's him.
That was part of why I stopped believing it, because I was like, yo, this all these research pages where they were on like GeoCities websites and shit.
Oh, sure.
You know, so like nothing looked official. It's not on his wiki page.
yeah, well, I mean, he didn't get to update his own wiki page, so.
But I tried. Yeah. I did it for like 2 years. I did like a bunch of weird sleep hacks. So I figured maybe you'd do that.
No, just go to sleep. I'm
that is healthier.
If I'm doing a thing or I have to go to shows or if I'm usually okay, but I will also doze off at the club. Don't get it twisted. I will. If I'm tired, I will sleep. I'm not like a narcoleptic or anything. I don't fall asleep, but I'll just kind of let everything rest for a second and then just kind of wake up after like 5 minutes and go, okay, let's see what's next. But it's not like a hack. No, it was just like, no, I needed to rest everything for a hot minute, which lets me know I'm probably close to being tired. So I probably got one more hour in me before I need to call a car. That's all. But yeah, no, this is just, I don't have anything to do. There's no reason for me to be up. I'm not talking to anyone. You know, I'm not engaged. I don't chat on various social medias the way that I even used to. Not that I did a lot, but I really am not interested in any of that. And I've watched all the YouTube I can watch. It's 8 o'clock. I'm done. Who's starting Oppenheimer at 8 p.m.? I'm not doing that shit. I watched it a couple of days ago. I started it at like 11 a.m.
That's a good time for Oppenheimer. I like that.
Yeah. And then just let that play like Project Runway in the background. And that's how you do it. I'm not starting it. Come on.
Yeah, I'm glad you got it figured out, Sha. Real talk.
Well, we'll see if I have it figured out.
I hope the ankle recovery continues.
Yeah,
me
too.
To go well. I'm curious just how early you'll end up going to sleep by the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? Because, I mean, I have stuff waiting on me, like where I got to be up till 10. And I'm like, well, I'm supposed to teach you guys starting at 7, but I go to bed at 8. So let's just cram in all the stand-up advice I can give you in an hour. And y'all just call me later. Go to an open mic and call me later.
I'll respond to emails. Don't worry about it. 5 a.m.
Right.
Let's get into the news.
All righty.
We got Bonnie and Clyde wannabes in South Carolina busted with chickens inside a spray-painted car after a chase. Okay. First, Fox News, you got to work on your titling. That was crazy. That was almost the whole article. that was a weird amount of information for the front. Am I bugging?
Like, I'm trying to read the article, but I can't read the article because it's like, you got to join Fox News, whatever. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You put it all in the headline for a reason. Let's see if there's another way.
That's how they was trying to sell it. Lawrence County Sheriff's Office said the Bonnie and Clyde's wannabes were arrested after leading deputies on two pursuits on Monday. Oh, okay. They're working hard there. According to the Sheriff's Office, around 9 a.m., deputies on a routine patrol in the area of South Frontage Road and Cook Road in Gray Court noticed a person speeding in a black Honda sedan and having trouble maintaining lanes. The tag on the vehicle was expired, and deputies were able to identify the driver as Joshua Harvey. Deputy said the traffic stop was attempted. However, Harvey refused to stop. Once the pursuit crossed the Greenville County line, a decision was made to terminate the pursuit at that time. At 2:45 p.m., deputies said they were in near Harvey's home following up on the pursuit from that morning. The same car, now spray-painted white, was seen recklessly driving in the area of Bull Hill Road. Another traffic stop was attempted, but the car refused to stop. The official said the car was successfully disabled on the I-385 at this time. The driver was identified as Harvey's significant other, Rosie Smith. Animal control arrived on the scene to recover a dog, a cat, 4 chickens that were all inside the car during the time of the pursuit.
What were they trying to steal, though?
I don't even understand. I feel like they were just like, this seemed like they were just challenging each other. Like, yo, like, I bet you I could get away from them more than you can.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can call them Bonnie and Clyde, but Bonnie and Clyde had a plan, and their plan was to knock off a bunch of banks.
Yeah.
If it's just a couple, like, doing weird stuff in a car with a bunch of animals, I'm not sure that's exactly Bonnie and Clyde.
That's almost nothing like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, I dare say, based on my Bonnie and Clyde research.
The charges she got were failure to stop, DUI, two counts of ill treatments of animals, driving under suspension, unlawful operation of a vehicle, operating with an expired registration, and seatbelt violation. So they literally stole nothing. They just were recklessly driving.
Wow, you got to throw the seatbelt on them too?
Yo, that was right. Like, yo, throw that in there too. Yo, I will say I enjoy a lot of the subtleties of this article that like hint at more. You know, like there's certain police phrasing that like lets me know something wild was done, but we can't say that because then you won't let us be police anymore.
Like,
you know,
what?
like where is this here? The decision was made to terminate the pursuit, and officials successfully disabled the car at the I-385.
They doing some Dukes of Hazzard shit.
Yeah,
when and you I'm say not about to leap from a mountaintop to another mountaintop. Why don't we try to cut them off at the pass? That kind
real
of shit.
Talk. Okay. Yeah, when you say we successfully disabled the car. As, like, the proper verbiage, like, yo, some wild shit went down and stopped that car from moving.
Right.
You know? And that was like, yo, that's just the official term we throw out there so y'all don't question us.
Okay.
But we did something crazy. I love the idea of spray painting the car.
When did they have time to do that? Was that the next day, or was this all the same day?
This is all the same day.
Okay. So, who? Oh, boy.
9 a.m., he's out on the road.
Okay.
And he gets away. They give up on following him. So he won round one.
Yes.
2:45, she's out there again with the new spray-painted edition.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So that's like that's a 5.5-hour turnaround time.
Okay, so he drove home, and he ran in, and he said, Clyde, because in my story, he's Bonnie, she's Clyde.
I like it.
Clyde, we got to spray paint the car. Grab the chickens. And that's what they did. Okay.
Also, props for the detail with the painting. They did not paint on any of the tires, but they did paint over the Honda logo. Like, there were choices made here, you know?
Okay.
You know, this is a vision. They had an idea.
You can sell the tires.
It's fair. It's fair.
If you need to. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you can't sell a Honda, but there's no VIN on a tire.
<You know? laughs> Oh, man. Like this whole time, like, I swear every one of these animals was so calm. Like, yeah, this is what they do.
Yeah, you know I mean? Bet you even the chickens were asleep.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, they do this shit all the time. It's the first time y'all noticed.
Like, yeah, I know. It's Wednesday. It's wild Wednesday. We go on a couple of joy rides.
That's it. We help paint, you know? Oh, man, good luck to them. You know what I mean? I look forward to this being turned into a movie somehow.
I guess I'm gonna need a little more plot. I need more backstory.
Yeah, word.
Why, if those were all of their animals, or those are particular chickens that like to ride? You know what I mean? Like, I need a little more. But you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
As a first draft, you're getting somewhere.
You got the entry. You know.
Yeah.
In other news, a British zoo has a new plan to rehabilitate its potty-mouthed parrots. That's right. British Wildlife Park has hatched a new plan to rehabilitate its parrots after they unleashed a tide of explicitives. Back in 2020, 5 foul-mouthed African gray parrots. Yeah, don't be calling my people out like that, all right? I see y'all, yo.
donated. That's the official name of the parrot. African gray parrot.
I thought he was talking shit.
It's in the name. What did you expect?
They were donated to Lincolnshire's Wildlife Park in Eastern England, were isolated from the flock in an attempt to improve their language. But from Tuesday, the team is adopting a different, riskier approach of integrating three newly donated cuss-happy birds named Eric, Captain, and Sheila, alongside the original five miscreants into the flock. When we came to move them, the language that came out of their carrying boxes was phenomenal, really bad. Not normal swear words. These were proper explicitives, said Steve Nichols, the park's chief executive. We put eight really, really offensive swearing parrots with 92 non-swearing ones. If the new strategy works, the eight parrots can learn all the nice noises like microwaves and vehicles reversing that other parrots in the flock favor, Nichols added. But if the other 92 instead pick up the explicitives, it's going to turn into some adult aviary. I don't know that word, but I'm assuming like.
Yeah, what a is place that? Where birds are.
Okay, I thought that was going to be like a bar or something. Like
no,
some
no, it's not. Cursed. It's just. Okay, here's. Tell me that you've never been around a group of children without telling me you've never been around a group of children. You're going to put eight dirty mouth cussing parrots with 92 non-cussing ones. And you think, and you're hoping that the eight will just be shamed into not cussing?
Madness.
And you think the 92 are not going to pick up any of the curse words? Is that what we think is going to happen? That you're going to end up with 100 just beeping parrots? That's what you think is going to happen? There's no challenge to going beep, beep, beep. And that's literally a microwave or a vehicle reversing. That's all you're doing.
That's okay. No fun.
All right. I don't know how on TikTok you are. Or even reels. But there's a trend going on right now where people are putting their children in a bathroom with a phone, filming them and saying, I'm going to close this door and you have permission to say any dirty words that you want, but you have to get it all out and you have to do it in that bathroom. Once you're done, I don't want to hear it from you again. Right. Which was, I think, a move that a teacher did that with one of her students, because one of her students was just cussing up a storm. So I guess maybe the teacher contacted the parents and the parents are like, what? And so the teacher's like, okay, I'll tape it and put the kid in the bathroom, put her phone in there. And it's just like, now get all of that out. And then you can't say it in the classroom again. And the kid's like, okay. So then he closes the door and the phone's there facing the kid and the kid will just be in there using all of these words correctly.
That's kind of awesome.
Kids love motherfucker. Kids love motherfucker. Just so y'all know out there. And so there have been a few of these. The first one I saw was the teacher one and others. Now I'm like, okay, are you just asking your kid to go into the bathroom and cuss? Like, all right. So now that's a thing. I saw one yesterday where I don't know what kind of traumatic things are happening around this little girl, but man, she is cursing out someone in particular. These aren't just words that she's throwing out. She is angry.
Word up. She got a vision board, yo.
Yeah, she is like, great, finally. And so it is wild. And that is what I'm imagining with these birds. Is that?
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to take the other 92, each one of them, into its own separate cage and go, all right, get it out. And those kids are going to, those birds are just, rah, rah, motherfucker, rah, or whatever. I mean, like proper, well, let's see, bollocks. I don't know. These are British birds. Or what are they saying? But yeah, so I I don't know if this, I mean, I guess you can't wash their beaks out with soap.
No.
We're not doing that anymore. That is definitely abuse.
Is that? Yeah. Okay, shit. All right.
I don't know if it, yeah, it's a classic, but so is a belt. So is a switch. No one's doing that anymore.
Yeah. Say all the good shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's sorry. Now we got to be smarter about how we tame our children. Now we're just putting them on leashes, I guess. Or I don't even know if that's allowed anymore. You know, I think now it's just gentle parenting where parents are the ones in the corner where they're cowering in fear from their kids. But yeah, I don't know if this is going to work the way I want to put a pin on this. I want to check back in with this zoo. In like 6 months, I want to see them in August. I want to see how these 100 birds are doing.
Real talk. Yeah, I don't think this is going to work at all. It's just so stupid, yo. Like, I don't know how, like, I'm not in the bird streets. I don't know parrots, you know. I don't got a lot of parrot front homies, you know.
Right,
but I assume that, like, I don't know. I feel like parrots could tell which ones are the cool parrots. You know, and like, I would assume the other 92 parents is like, yo, you heard that cursing shit they doing? Yo, I'm trying to get in on that, you know? And they just going to start cursing to be down with the squad, you know? Like, this whole time, they're like, yo, they've been limiting us with this beep, beep, beep shit. He over there saying, like, you know, he rapping. You know, he you know what I mean?
Sure. Okay.
I think that's the move.
I'm reading here, it says, African gray parrots are highly social, forming groups up to 1,000 birds to roost at night in the wild and communicating with each other through various calls. So I guess they're just like,
they just talking,
Johnny, you know, or whatever, whatever that is.
Skew.
Yeah.
Oh man, why does this zoo sound like E-40? You know, what's happening?
I swear to you, if I go into a parrot house and they are all in there getting hyphy, I am going to laugh my balls off. That is so funny. Of all these parrots just going around like, tell me when to go. Tell me when to go. That would be so funny. I can't even, I mean, I literally can see it in my mind's eye, parrots dancing to E4. Can't you see that?
Real talk. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I absolutely can see that.
Yo, E, we're going to send you the pilot script. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This makes much more sense than Bonnie and Clyde and all them birds. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. These cussing birds, they're on to something. But then this article also said that they hadn't put up signs to let visitors know that birds are cursing. In fact, usually they catch visitors cursing at the birds to try to get the birds to curse.
So, yeah, I was going to say, honestly, like, that's pub.
Yeah, like, the only way you're going to fix this is to take people away from them. Like, so that they don't.
Yo, y'all are thinking it's wrong. That would be the only reason I'd go to that zoo.
Yes.
I would be promoting that. Like, yo, come see our cursing birds. You know what I mean? We got 5 and more coming soon, baby. Real talk. Whatever you want to say, they say it harder. Real talk. Come reenact all your favorite scenes of like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got British cursing birds over here, yo.
I don't want this to turn into like some sort of gang thing, like where the birds all form up gangs and it's the Warriors or some shit, you know? But I mean,
that's awesome.
That would be funny to see the cursing birds.
I'm telling you, that would 100% convince me. All the shitty trips I had to go on as a parent. You know what I mean? To all these places that, like, you know, my kids were into.
Right.
That would have been a see. I would like take them to the zoo. It's educational. And like, yo, when they tired, you and Gabby can sneak off and go watch the cursing birds. It's dope. That's how you do it. You know what I mean? It'll be like the adult section of like the video stores. Like it's behind curtains.
Oh, wow. You know? Okay.
Straight up. You know?
Wow.
You know what I mean? They sell alcohol in that one portion of the zoo. That shit could be fire. Yo, I'm telling you.
It's a lot. That's a lot. Real I mean, that's talk, 100 yo. Birds. That alone is enough.
That's crowd. That's an orchestra, yo. Come on. That should be wild. Like, yo, you getting cursed at by birds in 3D? It's a surround sound.
It sounds like it's fun until one of them says something very pointed at you where you're like, hey, what did this bird call me? And now I'm alone on this podcast reading an article about a Dominican man who has choked out three parrots.
He said my Timbs were scuffed. Okay, I'll take that shit.
To Britain. And I'm like, well, here's how it's going for Gastor right now.
Bird said he was going to shit on my shoes. I don't tape that, all right?
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm about it. I love it. I don't know. That real talk, if that's how I go out, I'd be so happy. Okay? Dominican man arrested for choking out three birds in Britain.
Oh, my God.
Caught screaming on the way out. Listen to my podcast. I told y'all it was going down.
Come see our cursing bird. That's merch, actually. I should write that down. Come see our cursing birds.
Oh, man. The news. The internet's newest sensation is Neil the Seal from Tasmania.
Wow, we got a lot of animal talk. I'm loving this.
Real
this
talk, yo. 13. Yo, our listeners was like, yo, Shaz's ankles hurt. We got to pivot back to what she loves. She needs it.
Here, she likes animals. Over some animals. Although, honestly, if you pay attention to the stories about animals that I like, I wonder if you think, does she like animals? She always wants them fighting or cursing. She's talking about their escapes. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Oh man. A 1,300-pound seal named Neil has taken over a small town along the coast of Tasmania, going viral for banging parking poles and stopping a woman from going to work after blocking access to her car while napping. While his amusing antics have garnered a following on social media, local conservation authorities have been concerned about the human interest in him and have warned locals to be careful in their interactions with Neil. Neil is a southern elephant seal in Tasmania, an island state in Australia. Born in Salem Bay in 2020. Neil was tagged by a marine conservation program. He has been sighted at a number of locations in southern Tasmania. My man on tour. seals are a threatened species in Australia. Full-grown males average between 1,500 and 3,700 kilograms, 3,000 to 8,000 pounds. Yo, he out here though. And he's trending online. I dig this. I know that they're concerned because he's like he's part of the endangered species thing, but like his TikTok game is kind of crazy right now. He out here. Yo.
His TikTok game.
Real talk. Neil got mad like reels popping right now, yo. I think that's part of it. It all rhymes. Neil got reels,
well,
yo.
Sure, when you name the I wonder, did Neil name himself or you know, what's his real name? I wonder if that's what he's been yelling at us the whole time while trying to.
What do you think Neil's real name is, yo?
I don't know. It's certainly like a something. Something like that. Maybe a little bit more guttural. But, you know, Neil for short.
The Marine Conservation Program has told people to stay away, that he's not a pet, and that if people continue to bother him, they would actually have to relocate him, you know, just because they want to ensure that he's not affected for health reasons, and that he has to, like, gain weight at a certain schedule. He's gained significant weight in the last year. I don't know if people are feeding Neil. You know what I mean? Neil out here getting, like, some extra grub.
Yeah, that I know that's what's happening because there's somebody, there are more than one somebodies who are like, I'm going to feed the seal and he's going to be my friend and I'm going to have like a indoor outdoor seal. And I only say this because one of my best friends is that kind of person. And that is why we keep her inland. We don't let her near a beach at all. Because when she goes to the beach, she comes back with stuff that I'm like, I don't think you were supposed to leave the beach with that.
That thing still thinks it's on the beach.
Yeah.
Take it back before
like,
it wakes up.
I can put it in a jar and I'll dig a hole and I'm like, this isn't going to go the way you think. And so when you have someone like that in your life, you know that people are out here putting fucking tuna, like canned tuna or goddamn flaming hot Doritos or some shit out here. And now Neil has a taste for quesadillas and there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. The sea animal has gout, you know?
Yeah, right.
He's complaining about the salt in his ankles. I didn't even get his ankles, you know?
Oh my gosh.
they actually took him away 2 days ago. The agency had to move Neil for his safety because people kept harassing him and touching the seal.
See?
Yeah, yo.
We have learned, look, and let me tell you, I don't know how many listeners we have in Australia, but I was there last year. And I'm not saying y'all look crazy. You're not. A little. Y'all a little crazy. But I could see, I absolutely could see where it's just a people thing.
Yeah. You
know? I can't even put it on Australians. Or Tasmanians. But look, man, Tasmania, y'all need to tighten up. You already lost your devil.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is damn near extinct, the Tasmanian devil. When I went to an animal sanctuary, which is what they call their zoos, there was an enclosure for them, but they had a couple of babies, or probably like pre-teenagers who wouldn't come out, and they were like, we don't really try to force them to come out because, you know, they are extinct, so if they want to do what they need to do to stay alive, and it's like, that's fair, they don't need us taking iPhone photos of them, like, say, keep resting, little one, keep resting, Taz, we get it, you know. So y'all need to tighten up and leave your animals alone,
bro. Talk, B, let them chill. You know what I mean? He was just hanging out, yo. He's trying to dry off. He was like, yo, let me chill on the block for a little bit.
But it's funny that this thing ends with they reported that Neil's been spotted near a town of 300 people. So maybe he just needs a smaller town to thrive in. He's like, this is good. There are too many people in the other places, but this is about 300 folks. This is good.
Neil's not a city kid, you know?
Yeah.
Real talk. Real talk, man. I ain't into the whole like hustle and bustle of that. Okay.
Right, yeah.
You know, as a seal, I like your quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like a nice chill. I get up, I drink my tea.
That's it, man. You know, I go for my walk, I say hi to a neighbor. You know how seals do.
Yeah.
You know?
Real slow life around here. I like it. I like it.
I know who makes my muffin in the morning. I say right. Hi, you know? Neil wants what we all want, you know?
Yeah,
I ain't mad
really,
at Neil.
Honestly, real just talk. A good community. Just
That's
a,
it.
A community that will leave them alone. They know I'm a seal, and they know what that means, and they don't bother me. No one's bothering That's me it. For pictures. Just, it's like... Where's the place that George Clooney bought a huge villa, Lake Como or something like that, somewhere in Italy? That's like for him. That's Neil.
That's it.
Italian villa, but.
Oh, man. In other news, Tesla Cybertruck owners claim their stainless steel cars are rusting.
You don't say.
It seems like one particular stainless steel marvel actually does stain after all. Some Tesla Cybertruck owners are voicing their concerns over the discovery of orange rust marks on their new cars. One man named Maxa posted on the Cybertruck Owners Club forum claiming he picked that's wild.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course there's a four. I don't know why that's so, but yes.
Mm-hmm. He claimed he picked up his new Cybertruck in Dublin and drove it to Sacramento in the pouring rain on February 1st, when he noticed a bunch of tiny orange specks and a few watermarks. He said in his post that he was explicitly told that the trucks develop orange rust marks in the rain, and that required the vehicle to be buffed out.
You gotta buff your car.
Yo.
Like, as if you're washing the dishes. Do you hear me? You gotta.
They got you, yo. Real talk.
And how much are cyber trucks? Do we know?
That's a good question. How much are cyber trucks? Price of cyber?
Cyber. Truck.
That is, whatever it is going to be too much.
The base, this is as of December 13th, 2023. The base model of the Cybertruck is the dual motor model, and it starts at $60,990.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that model will not be available until 2025.
Okay.
The step up from that is the all-wheel drive model, which starts at $79,990. While the Cyber Beast model starts at $99,990. This can't be right.
I am sick and tired of all of these rich people not hiring creatives to name their shit. These are the worst fucking names.
Yeah.
What? Cyber Beast? What the fuck, my G? You are a billionaire, homie.
Yeah, but okay. Well, first of all, he's a billionaire who names every business he does, he wants to put the letter X in it. Every single one. So that's an issue. He's in love with the letter X, which sounds like a little short cartoon on Sesame Street. But some sort of R&B Sesame Street thing. But so there's that. And then do we remember what he names his kids? I think it's literally the sound of a modem starting up is what he names his child.
Oh, my God.
But what are the name of Tesla cars? Do they have names, or are they named like his son? Are they all like XJ?
They're like, yeah, I think they're like Model This or whatever, like Tesla car names, right? I think it was like they're all like letters or something.
Okay, so he... Yeah, Model Y, Model 3.
Yeah, like it's insanity. Dude, $79,000. That's the cost of your car. You could hire 80 comedians for one day to workshop nothing but names for you. 8 hours work, $1,000 each. I promise you, we would have crushed this shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, you named something Cyber Beast, my G. Like, you should be sent to the corner and, like, think about the shame of that shit, yo. Cyber Beast. And it rusts.
What would be good names for this?
Not Cyber Beast?
What would you do? I mean.
Let me see.
I guess.
All right. What are we doing here? I definitely like the microwave. That shit is hard.
You would call it the microwave?
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. It looks like a stainless steel appliance.
Okay, so you would why can't they do something with... Yeah, okay, so microwave. All right, so you call it the microwave. That's one name.
Like you get a sponsorship with that dude that used to come off the bench for the Pistons. You know what I mean? His name was the Microwave. I remember he was on the Pistons when they won the championships.
Okay.
In the 80s. You get him to come out. He's 60. He's standing next to the car named after him.
Yeah,
you know?
No. That's, I mean.
It's too far.
To that end, then you might as well get, what's his name? Refrigerator Perry.
I like that.
Wait, is he still around? Or is this an RIP king for him? I don't know. I can't remember.
Real talk? So might the microwave be too. Real talk.
Yeah, because I was like, how long has it been since Detroit won a... Okay.
Real talk, that was like 89, 90. Let me see it. Vinny Johnson. Okay, he's 67 years old. He's still out here.
Yeah, okay. He's too old to be driving one of these trucks. I mean, I would go... You know, the thing is, I don't know, something with the angles or pointy. Something with pointy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's all... honestly, you know what comes to mind? I just said pointy, and now I'm thinking Pontius.
Okay.
The Tesla Pontius? I don't know. The Cybertruck. I just, I don't, cyber, it's so stupid.
Yeah, like, I really hate that. And being frank, we've spent a whole 1 minute. Neither one of these names would be the final versions. Both right. names are better than this shit. Real talk. I promise you in 8 hours, Shalay and I would both be like, you remember them stupid names we both started with? You just stuck with the stupid name. There's no excuse for this, my G. There's no way you thought of making this truck and the truck existed the next day. This was a year of effort. And you never like looked at like, yo, we should probably put some of that energy into renaming this shit. This is a horrible name.
You know what? Honestly, if we're going to do this thing where we're going to have these weird blocky truck vehicles that honestly shouldn't be on the road or in the elements, apparently, like, what does it do in snow, you know? If it gets rusty in the rain, which is another thing which we discussed when the cars in Chicago, the batteries died and they all just froze up and couldn't move. And it's like, you can't, why have a car? Anyway, so like the sand is going to fuck these things up. The rain is going to fuck these things up. Like,
Yo, low key, I actually think I know what I want to call it, Sha.
Oh, what do you want to call it?
The origami.
Ooh, see? Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Right? All the lines, all somewhere. The folds.
Yeah, the lines, you know? It reminds me of the little, like, I used to make, like, little cars and planes doing origami, folding them. Real talk. It's angular, and that's what this feels like. This feels like something a boy drew when they asked him to design a car because he thought angles were cool, and he's, like, 7.
Yeah, honestly, know? Origami or angular would be a good name. The Tesla angular? Like,
I could rock with that.
I was going to say, if you're going to do this like mid-90s Gen X to the X-stream kind of bullshit, because I just saw footage of the inside of the Cybertruck, and on the screen it has Cybertruck written in like this kind of cyber, like 90s, like, this is going to be the future. We're all going to be wearing, you know, I don't know, baseball pads for fucking, you know what I mean? Painted black and helmets and makeup on one eye and some shit. So if you're going to do that, God. I say name these after David Fincher movies.
Okay.
So like name one The Game. Name one 7 with the number 7 in it.
Yo, that's, you know, kind of hard, actually.
Fight Club, Zodiac. You know what I mean? Like,
I kind of vibe with that. Real talk. If you would like.
I'm going to look up David Fincher. While you're closing it out, I'm going to look up David Fincher movie titles.
If you would like to sign up and put down a $1,000 deposit on your 2025 Tesla Model The Killer or Model 7 or what other David Fincher movies I know? Or Model with Girl with Mank. The Dragon Tattoo.
Or Gone Girl. Oh, come on. But when it's ain't metal, call it Gone Girl? Get out of here. What are we doing?
Real talk, yo. Yo, low key, actually, your Tesla panic room will be kind of fire.
I feel like if you buy a one of these trucks, you have a panic room. You know what I mean?
And, like, it could double as a panic room.
Yes.
Real talk, you hit a button, that shit just closes unless cops come out.
Yeah, and all they got to do, though, is attack it with a hose, and then it'll rust right through. But, you know, we'll work ain't saying on that it's an effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All you got to do is like, subscribe to the show, baby. You are Apple, Spotify listener. We appreciate your ratings. 4 stars. You don't know the joy, the pride that comes. We're driving a Tesla Fight Club, okay? Five stars. You see it. You feel it, okay? You're excited to get into your new Tesla social network, okay? You see, you know people gonna rock with you.
Social network. I can't.
They gonna see you different.
Man.
If you have any articles you want us to cover, please DM us directly on Twitter and Instagram at Silky Jumbo. Or at Gas Store Almonte. Shout outs this week to Rare Element, the Realist 23, Max Lee Deng, and FCBLJ. With all that said, I am the new owner of a Tesla Benjamin Button, Gas Store Almonte.
And you can catch me skirting around town in the Tesla Aliens 3.
Oh, oh yeah, this has been a really angular episode of the War Report. Catch y'all next time. Peace.